the OTB Podcast Network.
Right, at 7:45 on this Wednesday morning, it is time to reflect on the one-all draw between Qatar and the Republic of Ireland last night. Delighted to welcome Mark Lawrenson to the show. Good morning, Mark.
Morning.
Was last night an improvement?
Yeah. It obviously had to be after the last result, certainly. I think there was 8 changes, wasn't there, which... The only thing about that would be that, you know, you're kind of looking at Stephen Kenny and thinking he's searching for his best team. Obviously, one or two maybe weren't available, but it has to be an improvement because in the last few games, we've lost them. So the problem being, really, that it was just a glorified friendly, so there was no real great pressure on the players, I would suggest.
So you think that the pressure is the thing that's separating the good performances from the bad performances, or at least it's having a big impact?
No, not just the pressure. I think so Stephen Kenny wants to play this way, which is absolutely fine. The problem is at the top end of the pitch, we just do not have the players. And everybody knows this, and this has been for a while now. But if you're going to play this way and slowly move the ball up, you know, towards the top end of the pitch, by the time you get there, the opposition has just sat in. And even teams like Luxembourg, I think we've got Azerbaijan as well, they will just sit in against us and they go, go on then, you know, try and score. And the problem with that is we don't look like we're really going to score. Yes, we made a few chances last night, but you have to kind of disregard the game in many ways. And in the competitive games, apart from odd spells of 10 or 15 minutes, we really lack creativity. Consequently, we just, you know, the chances aren't there for even the players to miss them, to be honest with you.
That's a point that's been made, actually, over the last week, Mark, that even if you had Robbie Keane in this team, he wouldn't be as prolific as he was in previous Republic of Ireland teams.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the one thing about Robbie would be that the only thing I would say to you about that was he was obviously capable of scoring a goal out of nothing, which is why it made him such a fantastic striker. But yeah, if you're not and you cannot create the chances, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, we go to Portugal next, don't we?
Yeah.
I think that's our next fixture in this competition. So we're probably going to be stood there and thinking, played 3, lost 3. And in terms of qualification, we look like we're a million miles away. I know one or two players have come through, which is good. But unfortunately, no strikers really come through that you kind of think, wow, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months down the line, we've got a real player here. I mean, they're all decent, but therein lies the problem. They're decent, and quite a few of them obviously play in the Championship, as we know. And it's just a different level now with international football. And we've seen with all these so-called minnows how they've improved over the years.
That has been a massive issue, obviously. Like, it's true that you say it's not going to be 6 or 12 months before these players maybe stand up and actually that there are, say, top-class attacking talents in this team. Is that a reason then to be patient with this and to give Stephen Kenny more time from a supporting standpoint?
Well, that depends on the officials, obviously, at the FAI. So, he's a good man, Stephen Kenny. There's no doubt about it. And he's made his decision straight away that he's going to play this way, which is great. And you know, if and when he leaves a job, we say, well, I tried to do it my way. And you know, it might have been successful or it might fail. But I think the problem is that we just now need results. And, you know, while we've been criticised over the years, even Mick McCarthy got quite a bit of criticism about the way that we played. But we got results. And basically, it's a results business. And if you think about international football as well, because these lads don't see each other on a regular basis, i.e. as in the clubs. So when they do get together, they've got to kind of reform that association they've got with each other. And then the way they play. But if you really, really simplify the way that you play and get yourself up the pitch early and play in the opposition half, then you will get more chances, just the pressure alone. So, you know, Stephen Kenny's gone this way, which, you know, that is his choice, and he's an honest man. But, you know, you look and think, well, maybe somebody's saying in his ear, Stephen, look, we need to win some games. To be honest with you, we'd take an ugly win now, wouldn't we? We'd take a few ugly wins, and sometimes, as a manager or a coach, you know, you've got to listen to people and think, okay, let's change it. Let's try and change it, and let's play a little bit of a different way and just see if it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
It's hard to argue at that point, Mark, when you've gone 11 games without a win. It really is. Like, is there a sense that maybe there was almost a forfeiting of some of the style of play last night with Shane Long and maybe more balls in over the top or in behind, I should say, in those first 20-25 minutes, that maybe there's a realisation that, yes, we can try and implement a passing style, but at times in the game, it is suitable to go a little bit more direct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what Shane Long thrives on. And he's horrible to play against when you're sticking the ball in the channel, because he's strong and he's quick and he'll hold the ball up. And he's not one who you thread little intricate balls into and he comes off the defenders and, you know, and builds up the player that way. That is the way Shane Long, that's how he's been in his whole profession. The problem with Shane Long is that he just, for the amount of chances he gets, whether it's in the international arena or obviously in the Premier League, he doesn't score enough goals. I mean the lad would chase a paper bag in the park for you all day long. But there again is, he just doesn't score enough goals. But yeah, it's, look, if you go and watch Ireland. Say you're the manager of Azerbaijan and you're looking at all the stuff about Ireland, and you just go, right, boys, you know, soon as we lose the ball, we just sit in, whether it's five at the back, 4-4-2, 4-5-1, whatever. And you know, you're almost saying to the boys, the Irish boys, come on then, come and try and beat us. And that's really, really difficult. For lots of even the top teams, I mean, Portugal against Luxembourg, you know, it went on for a while, and Luxembourg gave them a good game. So you can see, and in the end, of course, Portugal have the quality all over the pitch, which they can, you know, in 10 seconds they can just create a chance and score, and that's where we're not at the moment, and we look like we're a million miles from that, to be honest with you. And you know, there is sympathy with Stephen Kenny, because he can only pick the players who are available. But the problem is, we do look like a lot of our players are very much of a muchness as well.
Mark, can I just ask you, we heard from Stephen Kenny at the start of the programme and came out quite strongly after the match last night against criticism levelled towards him since the Luxembourg game. And look, I'm just reading one of the pieces that was, I guess, critical of him in recent days. It was Tony Cascarino's piece in The Times. And he was saying things like, you know, Kenny's method has backfired. He's trying to implement a system that leads to the team not dominating the ball, not causing problems for the opposition. And went on to say he was tactically ignorant. What do you make of some of the criticism levelled towards Stephen Kenny in recent days since the Luxembourg game?
Well, you're always going to get it. I mean, even Jack had it. I can remember when we played one of the minnows and struggled and scored very, very late on to win, and he got lots of criticism. But you know, they won the game. That's the thing. That the problem with Stephen is that we can't win. You know, and I mean, as much as you feel sorry for him, we just cannot win. And I bet he's kept up all day and night just thinking about ways in which he can change. But the problem with us is the personnel that we've got. We just don't really cause a threat in the opposition half. And, you know, in football, there's only one thing you've got to do, and that's score. And, of course, it's the hardest thing in the world to do, because lots of people obviously can stop you from scoring. But, look, Stephen Kenny will read it. You can bet your bottom dollar he listens to the radio, he watches TV, he'll get all the newspapers. And I never believe managers when they say, oh, no, I never look at it. Yes, they do. And he's now got to make a decision before the next set of games whether he changes it. Whether he doesn't have to change it completely wholesale, but, you know, with what we just said about Shane Long, go that way. Get the team up the pitch quicker. And there's nothing wrong. It's not short ball or long ball. It's the right ball. And, you know, if we can do that, and then at least if we start to create more chances, the percentage is we might score from one or two of those chances. But No, what I don't know is what the FAI are thinking. What are they thinking all of a sudden? Oh, God, we've got to go to Portugal, so we'll probably get beat. Maybe do we need to change it? Do we need to change it and give the next person a real chance of trying to get us in the next competition? So that I don't know, really.
Would you stick with Stephen at the moment? I mean, even regardless of the Portugal game and result, and regardless of how this campaign even goes, does he deserve a full campaign or two even?
$64,000 question. Well, I think only if we see an improvement, and you know that is ultimately. So my answer is yes, but there has to be an improvement. And there has to be an improvement in results first. I'm not really particularly worried about performances. It's a results business, as everybody knows. You know, if Stephen was managing in the Premier League or the Championship, he'd have lost his job by now. But that's the way that it is, and it's a real cutthroat business. And the problem is everybody likes him. He's obviously a very honest and decent man. But I would say to you that you know the next kind of tranche of games will be the most important of his life. And if we don't do particularly well, then I think the FAI would look to make a change.
We're going to be talking Formula One a little bit later on, and it was the great Niki Lauda who often said, you know, winning is one thing, but out of losing, I learned more. Do you think this Luxembourg defeat, do you think it'll provide maybe the newspaper cutting on the dressing room wall that maybe it could prove to be a turning point for these players, something that they will never forget?
Well, you hope so. And I thought, you know, Seamus Coleman absolutely nailed it with what he said after the game. But the problem is, you know, these lads won't meet up now for ages. And as I say, and you all get together. And because Stephen's been changing the team to look for, you know, the perfect formula and the perfect way to play and the results, it'd be interesting to see what the next team is, because obviously I think it's Portugal away. So the only thing is winning. It really seriously is. And the problem is we don't even look like winning ugly at the moment, which we would all absolutely be delighted with. But as I say, it remains to be seen excuse me, what he's going to do with the team the next time they meet up.
Would you throw the 3-5-2 out the window?
Say again?
Would you throw the 3-5-2 out the window?
Not going to Portugal, I wouldn't, no. I think you've got to go to Portugal, and I think you've just got to be very, very cagey. And it's almost like us playing Luxembourg, but in reverse, where, you know, we know Portugal are an outstanding team. Obviously, everyone points to Ronaldo, but they've got some really, really good players. They've got lots of match winners. And I think it's a day or a night when you go and you probably play 3-5-2 and you deny Portugal the space and play on the break. But the only problem with that is you, if you get a little bit of success in the game and start to have a little bit of the ball and feel confident and everyone starts to, you know, try to come forward, that's when the top teams just pick you off. It's like, you know, you've waited and waited and waited and all of a sudden you think, oh, we can beat these now. And, you know, let's get a little bit forward. Let's take one and two more chances. And as I said, people like Ronaldo, Jota, all those kind of players get half a yard of room and bang, you're toast.
And it does seem that we're giving opposition teams more than half a yard of room at the moment, which would be a cause for concern.
Yeah, well, the better the team you play, and if you're giving them room, then there's only going to be one result, unless there's an absolutely heroic, you know, backs to the wall, brilliant defensive display. But the problem is, we need to win a game. We absolutely, totally need to win a game. I mean, if Portugal beat us, which I think they probably will do, unless they're missing all sorts of players, then we're never going to qualify, are we? I think it's basically a write-off. So, in terms of the FAI, what do you do? You know, do you then sit there and think, right, well, you know, Stephen's had his chance, 12 games, whatever it may be, and we've obviously had some really poor results. We've got to look in another direction. And he'll know that. He'll absolutely, totally know that as well. He's probably even at the moment thinking he might get a phone call from the chief exec saying, you know, Stephen, thanks, but no thanks, we're going to go in a different direction. And in all honesty, he could not complain, you know, after the results or lack of results that we've got.
So just on that, you're right in what you say, that if this was a Premier League or a Championship club, no wins from 11 would probably have you in a good bit of hot water. Should Ireland be looking at it in a different way, though? Like, I was making the point yesterday that, I mean, if things get worse before they get better for Ireland, it's not necessarily the end of the world, because things weren't brilliant before they started to get worse anyway. So does that just give them a little bit more time that, say, so it's Portugal, Azerbaijan, and then Serbia at home. They're the three games in the next tranche of competitive fixtures. They've got Andorra and Hungary in the summer. So say if they lose to Portugal, if they beat Azerbaijan, and say, let's say, worst case, they lose to Serbia, if they get 3, maybe 4 points out of that international window, will you sack them, basically, if you were the FAI CEO?
Well, no, probably not, because that's an improvement.
So just one win is all he needs?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say one win. I would say two, to be honest with you. Probably not going to beat Portugal, but I would say two, because at the moment you might have one win and you might just be extremely lucky and it might be an awful game and you know, the 90th minute someone nicks one in from a corner or whatever. But no, I think you'd have to win a couple, because just one game, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer, does it? So, look, it's a really, really difficult one. And I think everybody's been extremely patient. But in the end, you know, and you go back to this, and it's never, ever changed football. It is a results business, you know. And it doesn't matter if you win ugly, you still win. You wake up the next morning and you've still won. At the moment, we can't even do that.
What would happen in that scenario if he weren't to be the Ireland manager going into 2022? Who would be your successor?
Oh, I really don't know. I mean, it depends who wants it. You know, I would think a lot of people who would be available for the job will look at it, and they'll look at the personnel. And we know that the personnel change. You know, it can be 6 months. Players come through, and you give them debuts, and all of a sudden they kick on, and they started to get regular football at the club and stuff. But I really don't know who is the honest answer. I mean, Mick McCarthy would be looking at it and think, well, you know, I'm out of there. Thank God, I'm out of there. But there is a train of thought that, you know, you might just stay with Stephen right until the end of the competition. But the problem is that all our supporters, and we should be obviously have all the supporters back by the time we play Portugal, etc. They won't stand it. They won't stand for it, insofar as if we're playing this way and not winning any games. And, you know, it might be nice, intricate patterns on the pitch, but if you're not doing the business at the business end, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, like that's like something we've discussed as well. Like, I mean, what would the mood in the stadium have been with fans over the last couple of days? Like, my sense is that after the Serbia result, it would have been quite positive, and after the Luxembourg result, it would have been quite negative. And then last night, maybe somewhere in between. Like, Stephen Kenny came out after the game and said that there were 7 players involved last night that were involved with Ireland at some stage during the under-21s. Like, there are so many legitimate cases to be made here that these are growing pains, that these under-21s are just naturally going to get better over the next little while. And as you say, there isn't necessarily a successor who everybody has in mind to be better than this at the moment. The point here is that, in my opinion, that there is just so many reasons to give this guy until the end of this campaign and maybe even beyond September, until the end of this World Cup qualifying campaign.
Yeah, well, it's why have you got the under-21s? Why does any nation have under-21s? To obviously have a look at them and to bring them on, and then obviously to be full internationals. But it, you know, being a full international at the moment with I would say the lack of quality that we've got is not that difficult. So, you know, so these players will come through, but will they actually be good enough to get your results? Like, you know, Serbia away, even if you come away with a draw, you know, Portugal away and all those kind of things. And it's not just the fact that all these players are coming through. It's like, what do they do when they get to the first team, for want of a better description? And can they live, you know, with the other teams, the international teams that they're going to have to play against? And at the moment, we're looking, and apart from one or two it doesn't look like they are good enough. The decent players, don't get me wrong, and they're all making, you know, a nice living playing over across in England, etc. And they're doing fine, but fine isn't good enough. They need to be very, very good. And we need to get probably four or five of them at the same time. That's always the thing, I think, with any international team. And, excuse me, you know, it's very cyclical. You can just have a year, 18 months of 2 years with not too many players come through, and all of a sudden, you know, you start to look a bit weak. And then you may have this thing where you just three, four, five come through and you go, wow, you know. And that's why, in many ways, as great as Jack was, he was also fortunate in the quality of the players that decided to play for Ireland and came through. And, you know, if you look at our best teams, you know, they there's quite a few of those players will get in most European and international teams of that time. And at the moment, we haven't got that.
Mark, misery loves company, and we often are quite negative, and the talk around the international team tends to be quite negative. And look, granted, we just lost to Luxembourg and drew with Qatar, so maybe there's a reason for that. But from your own international playing days even, is this an international thing? Is this an Irish international fans thing? Do you remember times when you were playing even with the Republic of Ireland where there were just bouts of negativity that maybe we focus on the negatives too much as a footballing nation, I guess?
I think that's pretty natural. I mean, obviously, you know, over in England, if they lose a game or they don't play particularly well, they get pelted. They get pelted by all the media because, you know, they see all these fantastic teams and players and the money that they earn, which shouldn't be an issue, but it is. And it's like, oh, they can't do this and they can't do that. And then by the other token, some of the younger players that are coming through for England, they go, oh, they're going to be absolute world beaters. Well, somewhere in between probably lies the truth. Look, when we all played, you know, you'd have really, really bad days. But I think generally that the difference was that, you know, we qualified for stuff by hook or by crook. We qualified, and that's all that really matters. And I think with a lot of supporters as well, as you know, as we know, certainly in Ireland, majority will be Liverpool, Manchester United fans, etc. And if you're watching those teams week in, week out, and then you see what we have at international level, you kind of, if you got sort of modicum of a brain cell, you'd look and go, well, you know, these lads wouldn't get into Man United and Liverpool teams. So maybe it is growing pains. But I think where they've been fortunate, the current team and Stephen Kenny, is that there's been no, certainly recently, there's been no supporters in the stadium because the Luxembourg result, I mean, they would have absolutely slaughtered the players. And I'm not saying it's right, but it is the way that it is. And I always say it's a bit like being a Premier League manager. And if you win a game, you're a genius. And if you lose a game, you're rubbish. And that there is never any middle ground. But I think that's the way that football is. And has probably grown into that over the last 5-10 years.
To that end, then, and we don't have any Liverpool or Manchester United players currently in the international setup. But what positives will you take out of these couple of games? I mean, Jason Malumbi has been playing well. Josh Cullen, Darryl O'Shea as well, someone 22 years of age and commanding that centre half position. So what positives will you take, Mark, from the last couple of outings?
Well, things like that, and as we said before and discussed, it's, you know, what is experience? What is experience in football, and what's experience in life? In football, it's not winning 5-0 against a Cyprus or a Luxembourg or a San Marino. It's when you get beat, and it's a defeat that's not expected, and that's experience for me. And you know, in many ways, obviously the current results do help us in a certain way. But the problem is, going forward with that, we don't really look like we're going to win any games. But at the very, very least, we should be extremely difficult to beat. I mean, you know, throughout the last 20, 30, 40 years, there's one thing about the Irish team that any team playing against them would know. They would be very, very competitive, very, very physical, and very difficult to beat. So that's basically the first thing that we've got to be. Like the Luxembourg result, didn't play well, but don't concede. At least get a point, because it's something to build on. But if you're losing games against the likes of Luxembourg, and obviously the late goals, you know, with Serbia, etc., is you're never going to qualify for anything.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.